The gospel lesson today. The gospel lesson today is the story that Carol Wareheim just told from the Gospel of Luke in the fifth chapter. In the church's collective memory, Jesus' call of the disciples can become pretty boilerplate, even formulaic. Jesus walks by the water where some fishing boats are pulled up along the shore. Some fishermen are tending to their nets. After their latest outing, Jesus says, "Come follow me and fish for people." The fishermen, now disciples, immediately drop their nets and go, and you and I start singing, "I will make you fishers of people, fishers of people, fishers of people." Truth is, when it comes to Matthew and Mark's gospel, the crisp formula is pretty close to what's there. Early in the two gospels, after Jesus is baptized, and John the Baptist leaves the stage, after Jesus is tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Jesus walks by Peter, Andrew, James, and John and calls them to follow, and immediately they drop their nets and go. In the Gospel of John, the first two disciples are identified as disciples of John the Baptist. They heard John point to Jesus and say, "Behold, here is the Lamb of God," and they promptly left following John to follow Jesus. And they asked Jesus what he was looking for, and Jesus answers, "Come and see." One of those two was Andrew, who then went to get his brother Simon Peter. The next day, Jesus found Philip. Philip found Nathanael. No net drop, no immediately, only come and see. That brings us to Luke's gospel and Jesus' call to the disciples. In Luke's telling of the gospel, Jesus already knows of these fishermen, and they know him. In addition to telling of Jesus' baptism, his temptations in the wilderness, and his call to the disciples, here early on in Luke, Luke tells of Jesus' teaching in synagogues, healing and casting out demons. As Luke tells, a report about Jesus spread through all the surrounding country. And just before Jesus calls the disciples, Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law, who had a fever. After a long day of teaching and healing, the fisherman hosted the carpenter at his house. Jesus knew of the fisherman, and the fisherman knew of Jesus. That makes it all feel a bit different. Luke chapter 5, and the beginning at verse 1.
Oh, this is yours.
Luke 5 and 1. Hear the word of God. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with them were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their nets to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Lake Gennesaret is another name for the Sea of Galilee. Clearly, the pressing in crowd has already heard from Jesus, heard about Jesus. The word choice here of pressing in on him to hear the word of God connotes a sense of urgency in the Greek text. When those fishermen were out of their boats washing their nets, Jesus wasn't just walking by. Having been in the house the night before, Jesus asked Simon to take his boat out just a bit so he could turn and teach the crowds from the boat. Not the Sermon on the Mount, the sermon in the boat. As Jesus finishes preaching to the pressed-in crowd, he tells Simon to put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Or as the King James Version puts it, launch out into the deep. Simon must have wondered about the carpenter giving the fisherman advice. But there had been this report about Jesus, what Jesus was doing and saying and doing amazing things, and Jesus had been over to the house the night before. So Simon bites his tongue and drops a net that immediately fills to the point of bursting. Other fishermen come with their boat to help with the catch, such a catch that both boats begin to sink out there in the deep water. Simon drops to his knees, probably right on the fish. Go away from me, for I'm a sinful man. Jesus doesn't go anywhere, but stays right there among the fish and the boats. Jesus stays right there, smack in the middle of their way of life in the deep water, and says, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people. They all bring the boats, the nets, and the fish to shore, and they left everything and followed Jesus. They didn't just drop their nets. They left everything. Even all those fish left there for the crowd. John tells a familiar story of an abundant catch of fish in his gospel. You'll remember it. John's account of an appearance of the risen Christ along the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, another name for the Sea of Galilee. The disciples were all together again at their boats, and Simon Peter announces that he's going to go fishing, and the others decide to join him. And at the break of day, Jesus is standing at the water's edge. The disciples can't see that it is him. Children, you have no fish, do you? The weathered fishermen admitted that they had caught nothing all night long. And Jesus said, cast the nets to the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And once again, they catch so many fish that the nets are about to break. John counts them, 153. When they came ashore, there was a fire burning. Instead of saying, come and see there in John, Jesus says, come and have breakfast. New Testament scholars raise the possibility that in the oral tradition that shapes the Gospels, we might have one miraculous abundant catch of fish story made two ways. Told two ways. Luke takes a resurrection story and turns it into a call of the disciples, or perhaps John takes the call story and allows it to radiate with the post-Easter risen Christ. Either way, the relationship Jesus has with those first disciples begins and ends with fish. Which is to say, the call of Jesus on their lives bursts into their ordinary way of life. The appearance of the risen Christ breaks in as they return to their day job. They were fishermen. Their encounter with God came right in the midst of the labor and the sweat and the sounds and the frustration and the smell of everyday life. When Jesus stepped into Peter's boat to teach the crowds, the Savior stepped right into Peter's office, his classroom. Jesus stood right in front of his computer. Jesus walked right onto Wall Street, right onto campus, right into the home office. He turned off the television, sat down in the living room. He came into the nursery right next to the changing table. Jesus pulled up a chair at the kitchen table and turned to teach the world. In the Gospel of Luke, the call of the disciples doesn't come when Jesus stands up in a synagogue at Nazareth to unroll and read from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's appointed me to bring good news to the poor. The call of the disciples doesn't come on the Sabbath when Jesus dared to heal the man who had been tormented by an unclean spirit. The call didn't come that Sabbath evening when Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law. Neither did the call come as Jesus was healing the crowds at sunset on the Lord's day. Jesus' call to the disciples came sometime during the work week, which says to me that you and I ought to seek the presence of God, hear the word of God, see the grace of God out there, as often as we intentionally seek God's presence, God's word, God's grace in here, pressing in as called disciples of Jesus Christ in the very fullness of life, the complexity of life, the challenge of life, with the sure expectation that indeed God is present. Jesus said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets. Launch out into the deep. Deep water. Only a few chapters after this, Jesus After Jesus calls the disciples in Luke, he calms a storm out in the deep water. Luke tells of Jesus and the disciples setting out in the boat to go to the other side of the lake. Going to the other side of the lake, by definition, would be crossing the deep water. Jesus falls asleep in the boat. A storm comes. The boat is filling with water. The disciples know they're in danger. They wake up Jesus shouting, "Master, Master, we're perishing here." Jesus wakes up, rebukes the wind and the raging waves. There is a sudden calm out in the deep water. And Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith? Your deep water faith." I am guessing in the ancient world, fishermen had a fraught relationship with deep water. I imagine people who fish for a living today still have a fraught relationship with deep water. Jesus telling the freshly called Simon, who he had already come to know, to put out into the deep water has to be more about more than the actual depth of the sea. Jesus telling Simon to launch out into the deep has to be more about locating a huge school of fish. Perhaps deep water is a kind of metaphor for life when the storms rage and the wind gusts. Perhaps Jesus telling Simon to launch out into the deep is his way to show the fisherman, now disciple, that he has come to know, that he has to come to know that God is present in life and when the world is fraught. Early on in the journey, showing those he knew and would come to love that following them is going to require a deep water faith. Deep water faith clings to the assurance of the presence of God in the day-to-day life when the storms rage and the winds gust. Deep water faith finds a way to get stronger when the days get harder and the nights get longer. Deep water faith presses in to hear a word from Jesus when the world's clamor and blather gets ever louder. Deep water faith finds a way to soothe the soul with a calm and an assurance despite chaos unleashed all around and every day. One ought not to miss that here in Luke, Jesus' call to the disciples doesn't come out of the blue, it comes out of relationship. And when your relationship with the world, with the day today, is fraught with deep water faith inspires the courage, the strength, and the determination to make a difference, one person at a time, one breath at a time, one moment at a time. The reference to deep water, it's not a common one in the Bible. I could only find one other occurrence in the book of Proverbs. The purposes of the human heart are like deep water, but the intelligent will draw them out. The Greek word for deep doesn't show up all that often in the New Testament, for that matter. But here's one you'll know. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor deep, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Apostle Paul in Romans. That's a promise for deep water. A promise that rises to the top with deep water faith. Amen.